Humility. It's a great character trait for a Christian because it makes us appreciate God. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
If you're going through a time when you're without any case and you're guilty, stop trying to make excuses. Stop trying to fend off every attack, to defend yourself, to make yourself look good, to be your own PR person. Try to fool everybody. You got everybody fooled. You don't have God fooled. When we come to that place of great humility, when all we have is the name of God to hold us up and to keep us, man, I tell you what, we get real sincere in those times. We get real honest with the Lord in such times.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
You know, Christians of all ages have loved God's Word for its direction and the revelation of the Son of God. As we spend time with the Lord in His Word, we're directed to passages that may have special meaning for us at the moment. Guidance for the day, comfort to get through a trial, or a glimpse into the future that we're promised. Psalm 79 speaks extensively about all the benefits of knowing God and knowing and following His precepts. Today on The Dwelling Place, Pastor Al Pittman begins a look at this great psalm. So join us and turn in your Bible to Psalm 79.
In Psalm 79, the psalmist is referring here to the carnage once again in the aftermath, really, of the Babylonian captivity, when Israel was carried away into Babylonian captivity. Some of you Bible students know about that and how they were carried away because of their rebellion against God. And so he's lamenting and over that very fact. The land is occupied now by the Gentiles, and Jerusalem lay at this time in ruins. And he starts out here in verse 1. And says, well, that's a good place to start out. Yeah, verse 1. O God, the nations have come into your inheritance. Your holy temple they have defiled. They have laid Jerusalem in heaps. The dead bodies of your servants, they are given as food for the birds of the heavens, the flesh of your saints to the beasts of the earth. Their blood they have shed like water all around Jerusalem, and there was no one to bury them. We have become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to those who are around us. How long, Lord, will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? So he paints us a picture. There are dead bodies all around. There are ruins in Jerusalem. No one to bury the dead. There's so many dead people. And even though we read these words on this page, we're far removed from the stench and the smoldering stones and the ruins of Jerusalem at this time. Many of the people carried away in captivity by the Babylonians. So this is a very devastating situation, and out of the depths of utter defeat, the psalmist beseeches God. And he says in verses 6 and 7, pour out your wrath on the nations that do not know you, and on the kingdoms that do not call on your name, for they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. Jacob, of course, referring to Israel. And here he is asking God to avenge his own people. Verses 8 to 9, he says, oh, do not remember the former iniquities against us. And let your tender mercies come speedily to meet us, for we have been brought very low. Help us, O God, of our salvation, for the glory of your name. And deliver us and provide atonement for our sins for your name's sake. And this is an interesting deal here. He lays out, first and foremost, the situation there is total, complete devastation. And then he says, Lord, you know, you vindicate us. You know, you take vengeance out on our enemies. And then we find him here beseeching the Lord's mercy. He seeks the mercy of God for God's name. Sake. In other words, he has no case to present to the Lord. in his defense. He's without any defense. He says, Lord, don't remember our former iniquities. Amen. Don't remember what we've done in the past, Lord. Have mercy on us. Israel has sinned against God and has received her just reward. And God had brought judgment upon them because of their sin against God. And the psalmist understands that. I don't know about you, but when I go to God in prayer, Lord, please do not remember my former sins. David said, don't remember the sins of my youth. Some of the things that I've done, Lord, I'm not coming on my merit. I have no case to present to you why, Lord, you should deliver me. I come, Lord, seeking your mercy. In such times, true humility emerges. When you're really broken before God, you're not before God making a case. And it's always suspect when someone says they're humbling themselves, and yet they always have that, yeah, but. If you got a yeah, but, you're not humble. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. No, Lord, I have no case to make. I have no excuse to offer. I'm only seeking mercy. A classic biblical case concerning such a state of humility, complete and utter and total brokenness, is found in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verses 5 to 14. And there we find David running, being run out of town, actually by his son Absalom. And I know many of you may be familiar with this text, but I think the classic example of someone without any plea, as the song says, but that thy blood was shed for me. I'm not coming, Lord, with any kind of excuse or any reason why you ought to deliver me, but simply because of your mercy. And so in 2 Samuel chapter 16, if you'll turn there, we'll read real quickly. Hold your place in Psalm 79, but some of you may, and many of you are familiar with it, I'm sure, but some of you, you know, may not be aware of this account of David fleeing the city of Jerusalem, Absalom looking out to kill him. His friends have turned against him. He leaves with his entourage. He leaves weeping. And he comes to a place here in Bahurim. And there he encounters a man who is cursing him by the name of Shimei. And so the Bible says here, and I just want to show you this example. This is why the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. And here's a guy without a plea, without any kind of excuse, and yet we see the heart of David, and I believe this is the heart that God honors, because the Bible says he does not despise that broken and contrite spirit. So here David is, because, listen, here's the background of this, is that he had sinned with Bathsheba, and all these bad things were happening as a result of that. They lost their son at birth that Bathsheba became pregnant with. You know, one of his sons ended up raping his half-sister, and then Absalom kills him, and then Absalom's on the run, then he comes back to the kingdom, and then he starts calling people to himself, Absalom saying, oh, if I was king, you know. And, you know, and then Absalom turns and rebels against his dad, wants to kill his own father, who had mercy on him. And now David is looking, he's going up the Mount of Olives, the ascent of the Mount of Olives, he's weeping, and I'm sure all the time the devil's just on his shoulder going, it's all your fault. It started when you sinned with Bathsheba. You are the cause of all of this. And the guilt and the burden that was upon him and the shame on his life. He, you know, at that point, I don't know if you've ever been in that place where you have no excuse, no one to blame. And every time you look in the mirror, all you do is you see yourself. Anybody been there? It got real quiet on me. I don't know what you're talking about, man. And David is in that place. And here he is. He reaches Bahurim. And the Bible says in verse 5 of 2 Samuel chapter 16, now when King David came to Bahurim, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul. There was always a jealousy between the house of Saul and King David's household and the descendants of Saul. And this man was from the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, because David had succeeded King Saul. Shimei, the son of Gera, coming from there, and he came out cursing continuously as he came. Talk about being cussed out. And he threw stones at David. I've been cussed out. Anybody threw any rocks at me while they were cussing me out. But this guy, he had it in for David. Somehow he had found out about David's situation. And he loved to kick a man when he's down. And he threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And Shimei said thus when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. You know, David was a man that was known to, he was a violent man. He was a man's man, King David was. And, you know, he kicked a lot of, well, I shouldn't say that. He took care of business, amen. I got to watch some of the stuff I say. Hey, you know, everyone's going to say anything bad, but just, you know, probably should use that vernacular. But he took a lot of names, we'll say that, amen. And he was a violent man, and this guy, you know, said, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. And verse 8, the Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom your son. So now you are caught in your own evil because you are a bloodthirsty man. I mean, he is laying it on thick. This is why God's doing this. He's got it all set up. God's replaced you, man. He's done with you. It's over for you. Sounds a lot like old Slewfoot, like the enemy of our soul, condemning us.
Pastor Al has more to share, and he'll be back in just a moment. Thank you again for listening to The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. As we make our way through the summer months, would you pray about partnering with us financially? To join our support team, please give us a call at 844-221-3363 or visit our website at cwccs.org. And we would also love to hear from you. Email us at amen@cwccs.org. Now, with the conclusion of today's message, here's Pastor Al Pittman.
And then Abishai, the son, I like this, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord, the king? Please let me go over and take off his head. Okay. If I was David, yeah, go get him, you know. But listen to David's heart. A man without any case, without any plea. But the king said, what have I to do with you, you son of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, curse David. God had allowed the man to curse me. And he said, who then shall say, why have you done so? And David said to Abishai and all his servants, see how my son, who came from my own body, seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamite, Shimei and Saul was of the tribe of Benjamin. Let him alone, David says, and let him curse, for so the Lord has ordered him. In other words, the Lord had allowed him. The backlash that I'm receiving, the gossip that's going out around me, God has allowed it to go forth. What am I going to do? Raise up a defense and say, uh-uh. I know you are, but what am I? You know, was that going to be his defense? He had no defense. What was he going to say? When you're caught red-handed, when you know the consequences you're suffering is because of your own actions, what are you going to say? Kind of like the woman caught in adultery. She didn't have an excuse. What was she going to say? And so he says here in verse 12, here's the heart of David. Listen, if you're going through a time when you're without any case and you're guilty, stop trying to make excuses. Stop trying to fend off every attack, to defend yourself, to make yourself look good, to be your own PR person. Try to fool everybody. You got everybody fooled. You don't have God fooled. David commits himself to the mercy of God. Listen to his heart. It always blesses me. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day. I love that. And as David and his men went along the road, Shimei, boy, he didn't let up. He's still cussing. Shimei went along the hillside opposite him and cursed as he went, threw stones at him and kicked up dust. This guy, boy. Now, later on, you know, Solomon comes to power and kills Shimei. Anyway, that's the good news about this. But anyway, Shimei meets his end. You know, be careful who you condemn, because you know what? It may come out to haunt you. What you stand about other people may come back to get you. And indeed, it did with Shimei. Verse 14, it says, now the king and all the people who were with him became weary, so they refreshed themselves there. Keep that last line in mind, verse 14. So David, back here in Psalm 79, just a few more comments about David, but David offers no defense. His only hope being, the Lord will repay me good for the cursing. You're going through a time of cursing, going through a time where the enemy's got you in his crosshairs and he's just laying it on thick. And you're trying to search for excuses and reasons why the things he's saying are not true, but everything he says about you is true. You have no rebuttal. Our only hope is that the Lord will repay me good for the cursing. In other words, David's expectation is in the name of the Lord only. That's a good place to be. Don't run out and hire yourself a lawyer, you know. And I'm saying, you know, maybe I'm speaking to somebody tonight, but, you know, sometimes you just wait upon God. Let people say what they want to see. Lord, you are my defense and my shield. In other words, Lord, you are my PR man. You are in charge of my reputation. And that's where David left himself. When faced with utter ruin, just as the children of Israel were faced with utter ruin here in Psalm 79, God will still deliver us for the glory of his name when we place our faith in none other but his name. I know we hate those times when the Lord kind of strips us bare and we've got nothing. But they're the most genuine times of my life spiritually when I've got nothing. It's just when I'm completely, totally relying upon God. We meet Tuesday mornings, the men of the church, to pray. And there's a brother that I know that has been diagnosed. I haven't said anything. I mean, we've talked and all, but he's been diagnosed with prostate cancer just recently. Went in, had his blood looked at, and found out he's got cancer. It's just an observation. But I've never heard him pray more sincerely than this past Tuesday. The depth, not any hint of self-righteousness, not that there was self-righteousness in his prayers before, but just I could just in my spirit the weightiness of his words. I knew he was speaking out of a close, intimate relationship with God. When we come to that place of great humility, when God, all we have is the name of God to hold us up and to keep us, man, I tell you what, we get real sincere in those times. We get real honest with the Lord in such times. It should be noted, and I ask you to remember verse 14 back there in 2 Samuel chapter 16, because it should be noted that at David's lowest point, God provided a place of refreshing. That latter part of verse 14, they came to a place of refreshing. After Shimei's cursing David and his entourage as they traveled, they arrived at a place where they were refreshed. And I love the words of Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And David believed that. And this is the psalmist's hope here in Psalm 79. Why do I say that? He says, let your mercies come steadily to what? Meet us. I love that. Lord, let your mercies come steadily to meet us. It's good to know that when we are low, God has predestined a collision, a head-on collision with mercy in our lives. Amen. When I need mercy, boy, you know, I have no excuse here. I have no plea. I can't go any lower. I'm playing handball, as he should say, up against the curb. I'm that low. And in those times, it's good to remember, Lord, that you have destined for me, predestined before this thing even happened, that my life would intersect, would collide with your mercy. Isn't that what the psalmist is saying? Remember, he said, Lord, don't remember our former iniquities against us. Let your tender mercies come speedily to meet us. Lord, I need a head-on collision with mercy tonight. I need a head-on collision with your grace. And then the psalmist pleads for atonement. He says here in verse 9, he says, help us, O God, of our salvation for the glory of your name, and deliver us and provide atonement for our sins for your name's sake. In Christ's atonement has already been provided for us through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. We have been delivered for his glory. And as he says here in the latter part of verse 9, for his name's sake. Verses 10 to 13. Why should the nation say, where is their God? In other words, why should the nation say, you know, your God has abandoned you guys. Where is your God? Let there be known among the nations in our sight the avenging of the blood of your servants which has been shed. In other words, Lord, avenge us. Let us see your vengeance upon our enemies. Verse 11, let the groaning of the prisoners come before you according to the greatness of your power. Preserve those who are appointed to die. And return to our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom their reproach with which they have reproached you, O Lord. So we, your people and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations.
This has been The Dwelling Place with pastor and author Al Pittman. If you'd like to hear this message again, you can listen, watch, or download with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're there checking our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. That would be a great encouragement to Pastor Al and all of us here at The Dwelling Place. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. We're excited to announce that our Calvary Worship Center online store is now available at cwccs.org. You can order shirts, Pastor Al's books, music, and more. Every purchase goes back into the ministry to further the gospel and help support this radio ministry. Just go to our website at cwccs.org and click on the store tab and make your purchase today. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time on The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.